A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight I'm joined by Amy, and Amy's had this really checkered history of paranormal activity, and it all started when she was 5 years old. Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kate. It's lovely to be here.
It's great to have you on. Your email was about the length of my arm. When I say you've had a checkered history, you really have. It is quite phenomenal is the word that I will use for it. But your journey started all the way back in 1984 in Scotland. Can you tell me about this?
Well, we were in the UK. My dad's English, and he took us all home on a holiday to see my grandparents for the first time. And we hired a little van and travelled up to Scotland. We travelled all over the place, and we stayed in all these great places. And one of the places we stayed in was a dower house, which is sort of like it's the sort of a semi-castle on a manor where the lady of the house moves to when the man of the house dies and it has to pass on to the next generation. So the lady of the house moves into the manor house, and it's quite fancy, and yeah, they've done it up for accommodation and all that sort of thing. So we were staying there, and it was completely creepy from the get-go. But a lot of the places we went to a lot of castles and things while we were over there. So we were used to walking into a place and going, oh, this is so creepy, but this place was super creepy. And one of the rooms was bricked off. They wouldn't tell us why. I think they had told the adults why, but they definitely wouldn't tell us kids, but the windows were all blocked off and the room was locked. So something must have happened in there. So anyway, one night the adults were all in the bar having dinner, fish and chips, and me and my cousin were out in the hallway. The hallway sort of had a little end bit with a bookcase and some games and things, and we were sitting there. And in this little area next to us was the stairs that went up and the rest of the hallway that looked out to the front door. And on our right was the door to the bar, and a little bit further down was the door to the dining room. And in between those two doors was a little stand with a vase of flowers on it. And, you know, being five, we were all told not to touch anything and be careful of the things that are around that you can break. So we all knew that it was there and to be careful. So anyway, we were playing this game, and I was facing down the hallway, and my cousin had his back to the vase. But while we were playing, a rosebud landed in the middle of our game, and we thought, oh, that's weird, and we just were little, so we just put it to the side and kept playing. And then another one landed on the game, and my dad, who is a bit of a trickster, he was always playing pranks on us. I sort of put two and two together, and I thought, it's coming from the vases. My dad's just in the bar. He's going to creep out from somewhere in a minute, and I'm going to catch him. So, well, I'm sort of trying to play the game and keep an eye on the vase, and I'm watching intently at these flowers, And then all of a sudden I hear, and a rosebud floats up into midair, and it hung in midair for about 5 seconds, and then it got thrown at us. And I don't think I had had any concept prior to that of ghosts or anything like that, so I didn't initially get scared. I just thought it was weird. And we put that to the side, and I'm like trying to figure out what just happened, and I'm watching again. And the same thing happens. I hear the noise like it's being cut with scissors, and a rosebud floats up into the air. It hangs in midair for a few seconds and then gets thrown at us. Now, as I'm remembering, it probably only rose up from, it was probably 2 feet off the floor, the vase, and it sort of rose up to about 4 feet. So, it just hung there in midair and got thrown at us. And after the third time, I was sort of getting worried and something didn't feel right, and I'm worried that we're going to get in trouble for wrecking the flowers. And I'm like, you just put the rosebuds back. What are we going to do? We're going to get in trouble because we're wrecking these flowers. Anyway, we both got scared. I was trying to tell him what was going on, and he was like, oh, let's go. And because he's a couple of years older than me, so he was leading the way. But the door to the bar area was locked, which never, the adults in there, no way known would they lock that door, but it was locked and we couldn't get in. So we had to walk right past this table and through the dining room, which was pitch black. There was a big window on the other side, so all I'm seeing is silhouettes of tables and chairs and the countryside out the window, and I've got my eyes shut. I'm holding onto the back of his shirt, just heart thumping, panicking, and we're running. We actually had to run through the back of the bar and in, and we're trying to tell everyone what happened, but I'm five, and everyone's like, oh, it's just kids playing tricks on you, and I'm there five thinking, okay, so I don't know where the fishing line was and how did they make it rise up and hang there, and I'm sure I didn't see any fishing line. I couldn't work out what they meant with someone, you know, playing tricks on us. I'm like, it didn't come from upstairs. I saw it come out of the flowers, but no one really took me seriously at the time, and it wasn't until I was a bit older when I was like, I looked, the rosebuds floated up in midair and hung in midair, and that's when they realised something must have happened. But by that stage, they're like, oh, you know, you're just remembering what you want to remember. But, you know, that's when I started thinking, oh, well, no one's going to really get it. And, you know, I tell it every now and then, that little story. But, yeah, I don't know who actually believes me or not, but it happened for sure.
That's an incredible encounter. And what I love most about that is the pure innocence of a five-year-old wondering, am I going to get in trouble for this, rather than being scared? Because, you know, you've kind of got that unadulterated mind of not knowing what is supposed to be terrifying or scary or anything like that out of the realms of probably a Disney movie or something like that at that age.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
when you see, you know, something that is, you know, legitimately paranormal happening, it is... I just love the mindset is, I'm going to get in trouble for this because I'm not doing this.
Yeah. I am going to get in big trouble. These flowers are getting wrecked and we're going to get the blame for it. And we didn't do it. And I don't know. I don't know who did it. I don't know what just happened, but we're going to get in trouble and we need to get out of here.
So were you hanging around in that house for long after that? Was that kind of just you're there for a bit of a whirlwind holiday you passed through and that was kind of it?
Yeah, so I think we stayed at that place for like 2 or 3 nights, and they were the most terrifying nights' sleep that I ever had. I think it was at least 2.
So you're 5 years old, and at what point did you start to realize that wasn't normal? Because I honestly, I couldn't even remember when I was 10 years old. I swear I have the worst memory in the world, and I think it's great that you have this amazing a recollection of what happened here, because one, I don't blame you. It would be embedded in my mind, but to then go and say, yeah, this was the most terrifying nights of our life at that point in time. What about that made it kind of real and scary for you rather than just, oh, that was weird?
Well, firstly, I can remember like right back to when I was super little. I've got a couple of memories from when I was about, you know, 1.5, 2 years old. And again, I don't think my folks really believe me that I had these memories, but I definitely remember stuff, little moments in time back then. And I know memory can play tricks on you and stuff, so I don't push it, but I feel like I've got a really clear memory. I had the most beautiful childhood, and I can remember so much of it from when I was fairly little. But not only that, it was such a special trip to come. You know, my dad's a coal miner and we grew up in central Queensland. You know, the biggest holiday we'd been on was Mackay. And to then go all the way over to England to meet my grandparents and my aunties and uncles and cousins for the first time, it was already a big deal. So I think regardless of that happening, I would have remembered. But it was weird. I wasn't associating the rosebuds with the scariness. I used to always get scared at night anyway, like super terrified at nighttime, and would always inevitably end up running into mum and dad's room with my eyes shut, which is another weird thing. I know kids get scared, but I used to be panic-stricken under the covers, sweating out, suffocating almost from fear until the point where I couldn't stand it anymore and I had to face going into the hallway and running into mum and dad, and as soon as I was with mum, I was okay.
Yeah, really?
I don't know if that was... Yeah, I don't think there were anything, any major heebie-jeebies going on in that house, because my mum and my sisters probably would have felt it, but, yeah, it was weird every night. So I was already scared at night, but in this place I was... It was just a big open room and lots of silhouettes on the walls, which, you know, I'm trying to... When I tried to explain it to mum and dad, they were like, oh, it's just the silhouettes of the, you know, the trees outside, and not to be scared. But, you know, when I think back to how scared I was and looking out, I remember I either convinced myself that it looked like a shadow walking across the room and then saying it was just a silhouette and hiding under the sheets again and don't look. So it's weird, don't look. And just, yeah. So I don't know if I actually saw anything scary, but it's just a feeling that I used to get at night time anyway.
And you know what? I think a lot of people get those feelings. I almost feel like it's a sixth sense to almost just keep you safe, because I think we're a lot more sensitive than we realize. And if you've had an encounter like that, I always find that people who've had an encounter are genuinely more likely to have an encounter than someone who hasn't. So you find these people, and you're very much one of these people who go, well, I've had so many encounters and no one kind of believes me. And some people might go, well, how does that happen? You know, like, that's ridiculous. How can someone have encounter after encounter after encounter? And it's kind of like, you know, I think a third eye kind of gets open to, you know, to sound very spacey and stuff like that. But, you know, it's kind of once you've seen the other side, you can't go back.
Yeah, it's like you tune into it or something. Your antenna tunes into a frequency, and it just happens.
That's a really good analogy for it too. So yeah, you just kind of catch their broadcast, and you've got it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
but yeah. That house wasn't the only creepy house that you that you stayed in, because. The next story that you sent me here was you stayed in a 100-year-old farmhouse on your ex-mother's in-law's farm. So there's already two red flags, ex-mother-in-law and a 100-year-old farm.
Oh, no, she's beautiful. We're still really good mates. It was just, she says it was her mother-in-law that came out and scared me that night. But, yeah, so anyway, they've got this beautiful... humongous farm on the Murray in South Australia. It's beautiful. And the old farmhouse, yeah, it was 100 year old. It was the original farmhouse there. And they actually had an old schoolhouse on their property as well, which was, you know, the local school of the area, I think. Yeah. So anyway, we were sleeping in there. My ex-partner was in the little lounge room area sleeping. He'd fallen asleep watching the tennis because it was summer. It was the summer holidays. And me and the girls, I'd put the kids down, so I just fell asleep with the kids. My eldest was in a bunk, which was sort of on the same wall as the door that came in. And my youngest was in the bed with me. And it was our last night. So my ex-mother-in-law, I still call her my mother-in-law, we'd been up drinking red wine and I'd had a rough sleep anyway. And because it's an old farmhouse, sometimes mice get in and I was hearing little creepy noises in the room. And I was getting that heebie-jeebie feeling and starting to get scared and just telling myself, it's the mice in the bag under the bed, it's okay, it's just the mice, just go to sleep, quick, go to sleep before something happens. Anyway, I kept waking up and I could hear the noises and I knew the noises under the bed were probably the mice, but I started hearing noises up on the duchess where we'd had a few things in bags like shopping and little souvenir-y type things ready to go the next day. And it sounded like those bags were getting opened really slowly and then closed again, like someone was trying to look inside the bags. And I'm like, yeah, it's the mice. They've just climbed up. Go to sleep, quick. Just go to sleep. Something's happening. It feels weird. Go to sleep. Anyway, I managed to get back to sleep, but it was already feeling creepy. And the next thing I know, I wake up to my little girl in bed next to me, screaming bloody murder. She sat bolt upright in bed and she just started screaming like she was getting murdered. And I sat up quickly and I'm like, what is it? What is it? And then she was staring at the door and I looked over at the door and I saw this great big smoky, it was like smoke in the room. It just all billowing. It was about, I was trying to think on the way home how big it was. It was at least 2.5 meters by 1.5 meters, humongous grey, silvery smoke in the room floating up near the ceiling. And so as I'm saying, what is it? What is it? I'm looking at this thing and then all of a sudden I'm saying, what is it? What is it? And I'm hugging her and the little girl on the top bunk's waking up going, Mummy, what is it? Like, I'm trying to gather myself and this big ball of smoke billowing and sort of slowly reducing and it's like it's getting sucked through the door. Through a little space in the door about, I don't know, 30 centimetres by 30 centimetres. And it was all sort of coming and reducing and billowing down and shrinking and it just disappeared through the door. And there was a white bathrobe hanging on the back of the door and I said, it was just the bathrobe blowing up. It's okay, everything's okay. I had to get out of bed and rescue my little girl from the top bunk who hadn't seen it but just heard me and the little one screaming and panicking and I didn't want her close to it. She was the closest one to it. I'm like, oh, I got to get her. Anyway, once I gathered myself together and the funny thing is you hear this comment every now and then that it chills your bones, chilled to the bone or something like that. It actually felt like the marrow inside my bones had turned to ice. It was the weirdest sensation. It was creepy and it took me about 5 minutes to breathe and calm down and calm the kids down and try and convince them that what they saw was the robe on the back of the door. And then I thought, oh, God, my partner's in the next room. I hope he's okay. But the funny thing is once I woke him up and told him what had happened, he said that he'd had sleep paralysis that night.
Really?
So, yeah. He's like, yeah, I had that thing where you can't wake up or can't move. I'm like, ooh, something happened.
Wow, that's super interesting because, you know, I'm a big believer that there is this weird connection between sleep paralysis and the paranormal. Because,
oh, there definitely is.
Like, yeah, I know there's a lot of scientific explanation for it, but I do genuinely believe there's this, like, slither that falls between the cracks and that's where it gets really weird.
A slither. I think it's more than a slither, but whatever.
So you see this big kind of cloud creature. Did it have any type of form to it or was it just like a...
No, just, it was just billowing. It looked like smoke behind glass. Like it wasn't smoke that was drifting away. It was all sort of stuck together in one very defined shape, but inside it was billowing. But the weird, one of the things that I had observed is when I sat up and looked at it, Sage was still screaming and I looked over at it. the feeling I got, I think I said sometimes I don't like to say that I'm an empath because it sort of, I get this thing here and there where I can sort of not only feel what somebody else is feeling, but to the point where it's like words are, someone's telling me how they're feeling, but not in words. I can feel it so defined. And the feeling I got, it was almost like I had heard it, but I hadn't, was, I woke the baby. And it felt feminine. So I just felt like it was somebody that was having a poke around and got caught when they shouldn't have got caught and was running away. And they were feeling bad that they'd scared my daughter. And my sister said, maybe you did hear it, but I don't think I heard the words, but that's that strong feeling that I got, how it was feeling. I don't know if that's what happened or, you know, I get these strong feelings every now and then. But I definitely got that feeling from it. I woke the baby and it was feeling bad and running away.
That really, really surprises me. I find that so curious because it's kind of like, if it has that sentience to it, I wonder what it is. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
I've got no idea. My mother-in-law says that it was her mother-in-law, and it could have been because I know that her mother-in-law did live in that house that was the original farmhouse, but I don't know. I just don't know. I was into a lot of alien stuff at the time, and you know, some people say that they can appear in those cloudy, billowy things, so I don't know.
That would almost be scarier than it just being a ghost if you had some type of, you know, otherworldly creature coming in and then you're able to not read its thoughts, but, you know, feel its feelings.
Mm.
That's a lot of food for thought right there.
Mm. Yeah, I just knew what it was feeling. It's like you can hear it.
What do you think it was?
I don't know. I think it probably was just a ghost, like a spirit. And maybe that's all it was. And it didn't mean us any harm. And it was, you know, it sort of felt bad that it had scared my daughter. So I just, every time I've slept there since, I tell it that I don't want to see it anymore.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you. It's I have this interesting theory about kind of these types of apparitions that people see when there's a cloud or kind of like a shadow person, is that the, you know, the spirit or whatever it may be, maybe it doesn't know how to show itself to you, and that's all that it can kind of conjure up to be.
Maybe it can conjure up to be anything, and maybe that's just the easiest form at the time.
And you've just made me go to another level of thinking here, because I wonder if it was making itself to be unimposing on purpose, and it was potentially just choosing the least threatening thing that it could be.
Mm, maybe. I think I busted it. I think it was curious about us, and it was coming in to have a sticky beak, and it got caught. It was like, oops, I'm out of here.
Yeah, really, really cool. That's a really cool encounter. I mean, it was probably terrifying at the time, but that's one of those ones that really makes you think.
Yeah. Like, some of these encounters, I'm so glad that I've experienced all of them. I mean, that was the first time I'd seen something physically manifest you know, in its reality that I could actually see. Like, it was cool. I really enjoyed it, even though it you know, I had to change the undies after that, but, you know. you know, enough times passed. I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's great that you can actually look back on that type of encounter and, you know, you've gone back to that location multiple times by the sounds of it, and it really hasn't...
Not many. I wish I could go more. It's beautiful there, to be honest.
But to just have that positive mindset out of it, I think that's really good, because a lot of people can get turned off a location like that very, very quickly with an encounter like that.
Mm. Well, I don't like to be scared off anything if something or a place has given me the heebie-jeebies. I like to make sure that... You know, I can not beat it, but be in that space without being scared, because, you know, being scared at night was such a big thing for me when I was little, that now that I'm an adult, if I start feeling something like that, I really, you know, do the work and make sure that I tell whatever I think's around me to go away and fill the space up with happy vibes until I feel good again.
That's great. I think that's that's a really positive way to go about things. So... Something that you said there that really kind of piqued my interest was that you said you started to get into the world of, like, aliens and stuff like that. So what got you into that? Because in your encounters here, you know, there's some stuff here that kind of leads to some potentially otherworldly encounters. So,
well, I just, since the Rosebud incident when I was little, you know, it just opened my mind up to the fact that the world's not as it seems, and there's other things that are around. And, you know, once I started going to school and worked out how to use the library, I was up at the library quite often, you know, in the ghost section, looking at unsolved mysteries and ghosts and Bigfoot and UFOs and aliens. And I just, even from that age, I was just so amazed and curious, like, just curious about the universe, I think, and everything that could be in it. And aliens are a big part of that, the thought that there's other life forms around that could be visiting here on Earth and flying around in spaceships. I thought that was fantastic. So, yeah, I've always been into it.
Yeah, and you know what? You've almost described my childhood down to a T of doing exactly the same thing. So.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And, like, because this interview's been coming up, I've been thinking back on my life a little bit. And even when I was little, I used to have conversations, like, in early primary school, telling people, imagine if, you know, the way that I see green is different to how you see green, and we're all, everything's different for everyone and no one knows, and having these deep conversations. And this is in, like, grade 3 and 4. So I was already really wondering about, you know, where we live and how we exist even back then.
Yeah, and you know what? It's always good to have a really curious mind, and I think it's great that you had it at such a young age, because I think it's probably led you on the life that you've had. You know, you're probably one of these people who look for something different in a situation than most other people, and, you know, that could be one of the genuine reasons that you've had more encounters than the average Joe.
Yeah, maybe.
So let's get into some of these UFO and I guess orb encounters.
I haven't been abducted. Oh, well, I did have that dream. Yeah. So when I was going through, you know, it was sort of coming up to the end of my relationship with my ex-partner, and, you know, I was spending a lot of time alone and just trying to avoid life, and I was getting really into podcasts and esoteric subjects and things, and that's where I sort of escaped to. I came across the SETI program with Stephen Greer, and how, you know, listening to this meditation and how he says that you can send your thoughts up to the sky and make contact, and I just thought, sounds, you know, far-fetched, but let's give it a crack. So I started, I thought I'd download the meditation, and I tried it a couple of times, and, yeah, lo and behold, you start seeing flashes in the sky, and it's almost like it's you know, answering your questions that you're sending up in your own head. And at the time, I was living in a beautiful old house with a huge veranda, and it sort of overlooked Springbrook. So I had a beautiful view of, I guess that's south and west from where we were. Huge view of the sky, beautiful mountains in the distance, and it was just a beautiful place to sit and meditate and look at the stars and things. And yeah, I was doing it regularly, meditating out there and listening to the steady meditation, just spending lots of time, you know, putting the kids down and going out there and sitting outside for an hour by myself, just looking at the stars and just enjoying, you know, stargazing. Wonderful. So, yeah, I started doing it and I started getting these flashes in the sky, really bright, like a light was turning on and off in the sky. It was quite far away. It was like well past the mountains and high up in the sky, but it was always in the same little patch. Sometimes it'd be over to my left, which is more east. But yeah, I was really amazed at the responses I was getting, and it just felt like it was on cue, like, just like he says. Anyway, my eldest sister's quite into all this stuff as well, and she was staying with me one night, and her and my brother-in-law, we were there and we were sitting on the veranda, and we all did it together, and they started seeing it as well. It was like almost on cue. It was amazing, and I think they were pretty amazed as well. And the second night they were there, it was quite cloudy and we were still seeing flashes here and there, but we all saw this one. It was a really big flash in the cloud, and it almost looked like it opened up and shut. It was my brother-in-law, so it almost looked like a portal, but it was a weird little patch that just sort of opened up, and you know, it was more than a flash. It was sort of, it was slower. It opened up and closed, if you know what I mean. It grew big and then it grew small, and you could see it happen, and it sort of illuminated the clouds around it. So, and that was sort of the crisp, you know, the end. That was a big bang finish. And I don't really remember doing it much after that, but I kind of took it a little bit further, and I started meditating at night in bed as I was going to sleep and trying to connect. And I thought, you know, when I was little, I used to lucid dream all the time. And I thought, I wonder if lucid dreaming's real, and if I try and plan to lucid dream about aliens and experience lucidly going on a craft or something. So I thought I'll do those meditations as I'm going to sleep. And one night I went straight into this beautiful state of relaxation, and I started feeling heavier and heavier and heavier. And then I started getting all the tingles all over my body, like little prickly tingles, and it felt like I was magnetically being pulled down. And it was such a strong, heavy, nice feeling. I was like, whoa, something's happening. And then in my head I heard my name being spoken, Amy, and it sounded all digital and from far away, like it was an old broadcasting. It just sounded like an old, you know, one of those old speakers at like a drive-in or something. It sounded croaky and not quite clear, a bit staticky and electronic. And I just went, oh, my God, that's weird. Okay. That's too far. Nah, I'm not ready. not ready. Bye. See you later, guys. And I sort of stopped for a while because it freaked me out.
Yeah, that's something where you think you're ready and you go all gung-ho, and then the reality of a situation hits, and yeah, it makes you wonder, what do you think was reaching out and talking to you?
I think I was connecting with them. Because I was out there connecting, you know, sending my thoughts up, saying hello. Is anything up there listening to me and seeing these bright, not flashes, but like stars turning on and off, really bright stars turning on and off, just in one small patch. And sometimes it moves to the side Like, I didn't actually see the light move, but it would flash in one spot and then it would flash in a slightly different spot. Yeah, I had a big intention of trying to make connection. I thought it would be really cool. And then, yeah, I heard my name and I'm like, nah. Not as cool as I thought. Anyway, I'm not meditating for a while.
It's one of those situations that I think a lot of people go, yeah, I'm so ready to see aliens or meet aliens. And for me, I couldn't imagine doing or meeting anything more terrifying in my life, because
I could
deal with a yowie. I could deal with a ghost or something like that. But if, an alien knocked at my window, I'm just going to straight up have a heart attack in this place. And that's it for me.
I know. Those people that wake up in their beds and they see aliens in their room, I would have a heart attack. I am not ready for that.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how a lot of the guests who come on this show just kind of deal with it and just have a normal life and go, This is what I do, this is what I see, and it's just my hat honestly goes off to all those people.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I don't know if I could be right after that. I think I'd be way too scared, but I don't know. Sometimes, they say that they can emit some sort of calm vibe when it's happening, so who knows, but some of those people were petrified the whole time, so, it's an experience for sure, but do you want to have one? Who knows? Who knows what it's like until it's happening?
Yeah. I always say, be careful what you wish for, because what's been seen cannot be unseen.
Yep.
So you do the protocols and all of that. Do you have encounters outside of that with UFOs or anything like that? Because I'm not like the biggest Stephen Greer fan, and I'm always a little bit skeptical about what goes on there. And it's one of those things that I always wonder if people see stuff outside of doing the things that you need to do that happen in those CE5 protocol things.
Yeah, I don't, like, I listened to that again recently, and pardon me, it's just about, you're meant to be concentrating on your spirit body and how we're all connected on not a spiritual level, but we're all non-physical. There's all a non-physical part to all of us and all of existence, really, and we're all part of the same thing. And, all it is if you're already concentrating on connecting with your spirit and having a good vibration and being thankful for your own existence and that feeling of awe for our life and all that sort of thing, the CE meditation is just a normal meditation, and then to get you into that state, and then at the end it says, oh, and then I want to, I'd love to meet aliens, basically. But you don't need it. You cannot just have experiences. I think you can get into that state without it. But I've done a lot of meditating and in the past as well, so I don't know. Maybe it's just a good place to start. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Stephen Greer stuff, though. So another weird thing that happened to me around aliens and stuff is, I used to lucid dream a lot when I was little. I didn't know what it was at the time, but as I've grown older, it's very rare that I have a lucid dream. And one day it was night, and I woke up inside a dream, which is that's how it feels. You sort of, all of a sudden, you're awake and aware, it's a dream, but you're aware and you start looking around and seeing where are you, where am I, what's going on, and try and pick up as much detail as you can so you can remember it the next day. So I woke up inside this lucid dream, and I was laying on my back, and it was like I was on a stretcher, like a hospital trolley, getting trolleyed along. It was really smooth and quite cold underneath my back. And there was a grey silk cloth over me. But as I sort of tried to pay attention to where I was, I realised I could see through the cloth. And what I was looking at, it was like a really odd construction of the little town that I grew up in, the little mining town that I grew up in. It's got a very, it used to have a very distinct look because all the mining houses were built from the same like five or six plans, so all the houses sort of looked the same. No one really had humongous gardens, so it was just like grass to the front, to the gutter, and it just looked, all the houses looked similar. It has a look. You know, anyone that's grown up in a mining town knows that the little mining towns have a look. Anyway, I knew straight away someone's trying to make me think that I'm back in my little town, but this isn't my town. I could tell it wasn't my town. And just as I thought that, I realised that the silk cloth that was over me, it wasn't a silk cloth. It was a cool grey mist, like a cloudy mist. Then I realised I was being floated inside the grey cloud mist thing, and that the doctors and nurses that were sort of walking by me, sort of ushering me along, I'm like, oh my God, that's a screen memory, and they're aliens. And then I woke up.
Wow.
Yeah, and I remembered it when I woke up. I'm like, oh my God, was that a dream, or was something just happening? And because of all this other weird stuff that's happened, I question everything and I don't know.
How does that make you feel?
It felt weird. I wasn't scared. I was kind of excited because it's sort of what I'd been asking for, you know? Because that sort of happened around the same time. I'm like, oh, somebody made it happen. But then I really backed off from it because I was like, you, nah.
Does it make you question, like, anything else that's happened to you, especially around the whole UFO kind of genre there? Because if you're able to, you know, identify that that's potentially a screen memory, does that make you kind of wonder about anything else?
It doesn't, because that was such a unique, like, it's never happened to me before. Like, in the past when I was little, I used to lucid dream about all sorts of lands and places that I could go, and I could run around and jump from mountaintop to mountaintop and breathe underwater and all sorts of fun things, and none of it ever felt like a screen memory. But it was, I could feel, you know, that it's that feeling thing again. I could feel that I was being tricked. Someone was trying to trick me. These people are trying to trick me. Oh, they're not people, they're aliens. And then I wake up. It was instant. As soon as I thought, oh, they're aliens, and I just instantly wake up wide awake.
The whole lucid dreaming thing, I think, is super fascinating. And not only for the fact that it's a genuinely super cool thing to be able to do if you can do it, but to then have this almost like reality warping ability attached to it, I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I'm definitely, one of my New Year's resolutions this year was to start meditating more again, conquer my fear of the heebie-jeebies, and try and lucid dream again. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it's something that you could just have a lot of fun with, and, you know, it's essentially the least dangerous thing that you can do when it gets into the weird and the wonderful.
It is. And I can just remember falling asleep, feeling so excited because I could start feeling that falling feeling. That's how it used to start. I'd wait until I could feel myself falling asleep. And just in the middle of, just as I was still aware that I was falling asleep, it started feeling like I was falling and feeling really excited because I knew that I'd be in a dream soon. And I just thought it was normal. It was nearly every night.
that's really cool.
Yeah. I didn't realise that not everyone could remember their dreams and could do stuff in their dreams. I just thought that was normal dreaming.
Well, Amy, it has been so fascinating talking to you tonight, and we have really only just touched the surface with you, because you're like an absolute mine of, unusual activity. And you dropped a bombshell on me before we started recording about doing about seeing a UFO so incredibly close that it might be one of the closest encounters on the podcast. So I think I'm going to have to get you back on, because I know we've got a whole bunch of UFO stuff to go over, including that unbelievably close encounter that you encountered with a couple of other people, which is really cool too. So
I know. And my kids, we haven't scratched the surface. My kids have had lots of experiences as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, look, I'd love to get you back on the show sometime to go over all of this stuff, because you have absolutely swallowed all the time with your fantastic encounters that I said before we got recording. I was like, this is going to be tough to get all of this in, because you're so intriguing. So, Amy, if you're up for it, I'd love to get you back on sometime soon.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.